Good morning to everyone. We should note that Justice McCormick will not be sitting on any of today's cases. With that, let us proceed to State versus Dante L. Goines. And Mr. Goines, I believe, is pro se. Is there anyone here on behalf of Mr. Goines? Don't see anybody. Mr. List, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court, Nathan List, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the athlete of the state of Nebraska. The issue here is whether Miller v. Alabama applies to Goines, who sentences a juvenile to 60 years of life for second-degree murder, consecutive period of 10 to 20 years of prison and abuse conviction. The state maintains that Miller does not apply here for two reasons. First, because Goines was not sentenced under a mandatory sentencing scheme. Second, because Goines did not receive a sentence of life without the possibility of parole. Miller applies only if both conditions are met. In this case, neither condition was met. As far as the first condition, that a mandatory sentencing scheme must be involved, the only thing at issue in Miller and the only thing struck down in Miller are sentencing schemes that require a mandatory sentence of life without the possibility of parole. Juveniles, the majority's opinion in Miller made 31 references to the term mandatory or mandated, and on at least five occasions specifically stated that it's mandatory sentences of life without the possibility of parole for juveniles which violate the Eighth Amendment. This is the extent of Miller, and we submit that there's no basis to expand into discretionary sentencing schemes, especially when Miller itself explains that sentences of life without parole are still available for juveniles as long as it's discretionary. This court itself explains in Mantich, noting that the entire rationale of Miller, the sentencer has a choice between life imprisonment without parole and something lesser. And based on my research, nearly every other jurisdiction that has addressed this issue has also held that Miller does not apply to discretionary sentencing schemes. Based on this authority, including and especially Miller itself, we submit that it's clear Miller does not apply to discretionary sentencing schemes, and in this case, it's undisputed that Goines was sentenced under a discretionary sentencing scheme. At the time of his offenses, use of a firearm was a felony, it was a Class 2 felony, punishable by 1 to 20 years imprisonment, or alternatively, by probation. And second-degree murder was a Class 1B felony, punishable by 20 years to life imprisonment, or alternatively, by probation. The sentencing court had wide discretion on both offenses. It was not a mandatory sentencing scheme. So we submit that Miller does not apply for this reason alone.
What do you think the courts have been doing with Miller, not necessarily with respect to mandatory life, as in life to life, but rather where there's a number of years to life, that where the number of years is, I'll just say, very high? What have the courts been doing?
The majority of courts, based on my research, have found that the term of years is not the functional equivalent of life.
So your view of the jurisprudence right now is if there's a number of years at the bottom to life, that would eliminate the application of the principles of Miller? Is that your view of what's going on out there jurisprudentially?
That is. And even if you had a term that was so high that it were viewed as the functional equivalent of life, it still wouldn't run afoul of Miller if it's not a mandatory scheme. If the court has discretion and imposes, say, 1,000 years to 2,000 years.
So that would turn on your view that it would have to be mandatory.
Well,
right? In other words, if the sentence were 307 years to life, but the statute maybe was 20 to life, you would say nevertheless Miller would not apply because
right.
The statute itself did not require a life to life. Is that your view of it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
If the statutory scheme affords discretionary, if it's a discretionary scheme, Miller has no application.
If it's discretionary.
Right.
Now, I think Mr. Goines points to some authority to the contrary, that Miller is being applied where it is discretionary. Does the state have a position on that? Or is your statement that if it's discretionary, it simply doesn't?
Well, first of all, in one of the cases he points to, it wasn't discretionary. The governor commuted it and automatically just did the 60 years to life, so there was no discretion there. And then in the second one is one of the only few cases I'm aware of where they say discretionary schemes could invoke Miller, that it could potentially apply under of my research, the majority of jurisdictions are saying no. If it's, in fact, the vast majority of jurisdictions are saying if we have a discretionary scheme, Miller has no application whatsoever. So I think the cases he cites are either distinguishable or just simply not persuasive. As far as the second condition or the second element for Miller to apply, the sense of life without the possibility of parole be involved. The condition was also not met here, given that Gawain was sentenced to 6 years to life for second-degree murder and 10 to 20 years life, or excuse me, 10 to 20 years for his use conviction. This is not a sense of life without the possibility of parole in Nebraska. In our sentencing scheme, including our good time credit allocations, he'll be eligible for parole after serving half of the minimum portion of the sentence for approximately 35 years. And if he behaves in prison, he'll actually be eligible for parole even sooner than that, because under Section 83-1, Comma 107, after an inmate has served 12 months without further legal or disciplinary violations, he or she is entitled to an additional 3 days of credit per month. Based on my calculations, this will reduce Gawain's parole eligibility by as much as an additional 3 years, making him parole eligible in 32 years rather than 35. But either way, this is clearly not a sentence of life without the possibility of parole. So we submit that this condition also is not met, and Miller does not apply.
The trial court was concerned about whether or not this is a second post-conviction filing. I believe, is that correct?
It is.
Whether or not that would have been time barred under the post-conviction statute. Do you want to speak to that? Whether or not?
I don't think we have an issue with it being time barred, given that he was relying on Mantage after that. So I don't think we have a problem with time on this.
So your view is because Mantage announced that Miller was retroactive, that gave him a new day one?
Yeah, that would be my understanding.
Why should Miller not be the operable date starting the clock to run?
Well, if it is, then I guess he is time barred. I guess my view of it was that Miller was clear in our jurisdiction, his advantage. And if that's the case, if that's a new substantive law, then it would apply retroactively. But again, if I'm wrong on that, Miller would be the triggering decision, and he wouldn't have been within a year of that.
Well, the issue of whether or not Miller is retroactive is sub judice at the U.S. Supreme Court at the moment, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
What do you think we should do? Should we await a ruling on that?
Yes, you could. And if they conclude that Miller itself resolved that issue, then Miller would be the triggering decision in this case.
Because I think the case is Montgomery and it's pending at the U.S. Supreme Court. It's been argued. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if that were to hold, Miller's not retroactive, in which case our Mantage case would be overruled. And then Miller would become day one. Is that how it would work?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Or would the new case,
or the new case
start day one?
Or if it were retroactive, would that be a new day one?
Well, I mean, I guess, regardless of whether we're talking timeliness, if it comes out and says it's not retroactive, it doesn't apply anyways. But I guess I don't know the answer to that question. I think that through further, or it does wait, if it's like supplemental briefing from the state, I'd certainly be wrong.
Thank you.
There are no further questions we ask from the judgment of the district court.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the next case of the day, which is Grammer versus Lucking. Justice Wright is recused from this matter. Mr. Ream, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second, I think.